today's daf is from Basra Daf Kuf Yates. We left off three lines from the top of Kuf Yates Amar Aleph. That's where Elisha told me we left off. Thank Elisha Graf very much for covering the daf yesterday. So we're at three lines from the top, Kuf Yates Amar Aleph, Omar Mar. The first thing we're going to discuss is that we had mentioned in the Braisa that there were certain people who lost their Yerusha Sa'aretz, how Kalev and Yeshua took the chelek of the Meraglim. So the question is, how did the children of the Meraglim get a chelek ba'aretz? Where would they get a chelek from if their fathers did not have a chelek ba'aretz? The Gemara is going to have two approaches to how to deal with that question. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, and the majority of the daf is about the Benos Slavchad, so the Gemara is going to discuss how could the Benos Slavchad get the chelek bechora of Slavchad, the fact that Slavchad is a bechor and gets a double portion, if l'chora, his chelek bechora was only ra'oi, it wasn't muchzak. He never actually got a hold of it, obviously, because he never went into Eretz Yisrael, and the rule generally is that you don't get pishnayim b'ra'oi kibamuchzak, and the Gemara is going to have two explanations of that as well. It's going to reject the first one and go to a second explanation of how that could have happened. Then the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly it was that Moshe Rabbeinu did and did not know about Yerushas Habas when the Benos Slavchad came to him. What was he aware of? What was he unaware of? And similarly, when it comes to the punishment of the Mekoshesh, what did Moshe know? What did Moshe not know? The Gemara tries to identify the precise point of his gap in knowledge in terms of how to deal with those two situations. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss how it could be that the Benos Slavchad, when they pose their question, they do so to, it sounds from the pasuk, first to Moshe Rabbeinu, then to the Nesiim V'Kala Eda. If Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, why are they going to go ask the Nesiim V'Kala Eda? Where in the world would the Nesiim V'Kala Eda have learnt it if not from Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Gemara is going to give two answers to that question as well, and then discuss what exactly the Nekudas HaMachlokas is between those two answers, what exactly they really argue about. And then at the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to identify three outstanding qualities that the Benos Slavchad had, and we're going to demonstrate how they demonstrated each of those three outstanding qualities. So let's begin three lines from the top. Kuf Yotas Amar Aleph, Amar Mar. So says the Gemara, Amar Mar, we had said previously, Va'abonim Natlu Bizchus Avi Avihem, Ubizchus Avi Imosehen. The children of the Meraglim and the children of the Ados Korach took a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, Bizchus, their grandfathers, their paternal grandfathers, their maternal grandfathers, but not their fathers, because their fathers lost their chelek ba'aretz. So, frankly, Gemara Va'atanya, Bizchus Atzman, but we have another brisa that says that they didn't need a zchus of a grandfather. They got their own zchus in Eretz Yisrael. They themselves were personally entitled to a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. So why do we have to identify their grandfathers as the source of their zchus in a chelek in Eretz Yisrael? Says Gemara Lo Kasha. It's not a stira between the two brises. Hakamand Yamar Liotzei Mitzrayim, Hakamand Yamar L'Bayi Aretz. It all depends which shita you follow in terms of how Eretz Yisrael is divided up. If it was divided up by the Yotzei Mitzrayim, then those who entered into Eretz Yisrael could not have taken Bezchus Atzman, because they were not amongst the Yotzei Mitzrayim. They only could have taken Bezchus their grandfathers. But if you assume that Eretz Yisrael was divided up based on the Ba'e Ha'aretz, those who came into Eretz Yisrael, so then good, they took Bezchus Atzman, not Bezchus of their grandfathers. So simple resolution to these two prices. They reflect different shitos in Tanaim. Maybe that both prices are talking about, are working with the assumption that Eretz Yisrael is divided up amongst the Ba'e Ha'aretz, V'lo Kasha, Hada Hava Ben Esrim, Hada Lo Hava Ben Esrim. But if you assume that they were 20 years old already by the time they came into Eretz Yisrael, so wonderful. Then they took Bizchus Atzman, because they were 20 years old, so they were able to take Bizchus in Eretz Yisrael. But if they were not yet 20 years old at the time that the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, so they certainly could not take Bizchus Atzman. How did they ever get a Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael? Could not have been from their fathers, must have been from their grandfathers. That's what we must be assuming. Good. We had mentioned that since Tzlavchad was a Bechor, his daughters got his double portion of Bechor as well. Not only did they get his regular portion amongst his brothers, but he was entitled to a double portion as a Bechor, and the daughters received that as well. So, Frek the Gemara, Va'amai, Ra'uhu, Ve'ena Bechor, notable Ra'i, Kabamuchzuk. One of the basic halachos of Pishnaim is that someone who is only Ra'ui, when the person who's deceased was morish, is being morish his estate, when he didn't yet have his hands on that property or on that item, then the Bukhar does not get Pishnayim of that. The Bukhar only gets Pishnayim of what he actually was in possession of, not what he was entitled to, could have been in possession of, would have. No, it's only what he was actually in possession of. Certainly Tzlavchad was not actually in possession of Eretz Yisrael. He never saw Eretz Yisrael. So how could it be that he's entitled to the... forget about Tzlavchad. It's Tzlavchad's father, Chefer, was never in possession of Eretz Yisrael. So how could Tzlavchad be entitled to a double portion of that which was only Ra'oi to Chefer? Says the Gemara, two possibilities. First possibility, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, B'yaseidos Ohalim, who says that we're talking about portions of Eretz Yisrael. They took a double portion that Tzlavchad was entitled to in the Metaltalin that Chefer had. He was entitled, he had certain items around the house. So what did he have? Some pots and pans, some tent pegs, and that's what the Gemara identifies, the pegs of tents. So that's what Tzlavchad got. He got double a portion in the tent pegs, and that's what he was able to pass on to the daughters. Says the Rashbam in the last medium-sized line, "Yisaydos olim kolomar b'metaltalin shayilam b'midbar kigon yisaydos shetoken ben olayim v'shar metaltalin shein muchzakin behen." Yisaydos olim is love dafka. It's just giving an example. All the metaltalin that they may have had. Ulach inakat yisaydos olim devade lekulin oyu olim vein adam b'midbar below oel. Why do we dafka give this example of all the different types of metaltalin a person could have? Why would we pick tent pegs as the metaltalin? Because that's one thing that everyone in the Midbar had, because if you were constantly traveling from one place to another and you had to pitch your tent, one thing everybody had to have was Yisaydos Olim. Aval benachlas Eretz Yisrael lo natal chelak b'chora v'kol shoshu chalakim demasnisin bein b'makar ha'kai bein b'metaltali mari levad michelak b'chora demari b'metaltali. And you have to say that when it comes to, according to this answer, when it comes to the actual land of Eretz Yisrael, there was no pishnayim that Tzlavchad had in the land of Eretz Yisrael that they were able to take from Tzlavchad. The pishnayim was only when it comes to the metaltali. The Rashba also writes that Yisaydos is lav dafka, it means metaltal alone. And he quotes that Rabbeinu Chananel says that maybe it's trying to teach us an additional chiddush by dafka using this example of Yisaydos Olim. Because you say and the chiddush is that one might have thought that Yisaydos Olim do not have a din of karka, of metaltalim at all, that they have a din of karka. So it wants to teach us that they have a din of metaltalim, even though one could have thought that since they only function when they are mechubar lekarka, they're therefore considered to be karka. So it wants to tell us, you know what a classic example of metaltalin is? Yisaydos Olim, that's called metaltalin. That's the chiddush. The Rashba says, nice chiddush, but who cares whether it's karka or metaltalin? Meaning the point, and how do you see that it's metaltalin? All we're trying to show is that Chefer was muchzak in it. It doesn't have to be metaltalin. It could be karka, as long as it's not Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael he was never muchzak in. So call it whatever you want. Karka, metaltalin doesn't make a difference as far as what the Gemara is trying to prove over here. All the Gemara is trying to prove is that there was something that Tzlavchad was able to take Pishnayim of. It didn't have to be Metaltalin for Tzlavchad to be able to take Pishnayim of it. So how does that even make the point that it's Metaltalin L'chara? It doesn't even work to make the point that it's Metaltalin. So that's the Kasha the Rashba asks on Rabbeinu Chananel. L'chara, it's a very strong Kasha. The Rashash raises a different question. He says, you know, you want to pick an example of Metaltalin? Why do you have to pick the Yisaydos Olim? Why not the fact that he had an Ohel? You know, it's like the Iker L'chara is the Ohel, more important even than the Yisaydos Olim. So why Dafka pick that example? So in the Sefer Ramat Shmuel, he quotes that maybe the Gemara Dafka says Yisaydos Olim and not just regular Metaltalim, because since Tzlavchad died before Chefer, the brothers of Tzlavchad were able to taina that maybe Chefer didn't buy this Metaltalim until after Tzlavchad was already dead, and therefore it's only considered Ra'i, and the Menos Tzlavchad should not get the chelik b'chora of it, shnaka pishnayim, unless they can bring a raya that Chefer had purchased this before Tzlavchad had died, so that he was then able to be zocha in the pishnayim. The burden of proof would be on them, on the Benos Slavchad, that he had purchased this before Slavchad died, because Amotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya. So that's why he chose Yesedus Oelim, because that for sure Chefer had before Slavchad died, because there was no one that didn't have an Oel in the Midbar. So Huadin Shar Metaltlin means Huadin all the other Metaltlin that they knew that their father owned, that their grandfather owned before their father had died. So that's what the Gemara is Dafka choosing, something that not just Stam Metaltlin, couldn't have said pots and pans, because pots and pans might have been something that Chefer had purchased after Tzavchad died, in which case the Tzavchad would not have been entitled to Pishnayim, and certainly the Benos Tzavchad would not have been entitled to Pishnayim. Okay, it's interesting, the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Chananel, that we consider it to be Metaltelin, even though it only functions when it's Mechubar Lekarka, that Lechor is an interesting statement about what we consider Metaltelin and what we consider Karka. One might have argued that a movable item that only functions when it's attached to the ground is considered like Karka itself. It's considered Mechubar Lekarka, because it's only, even though it's not actually Mechubar, but it only functions when it's Mechubar Lekarka. That's the argument that some of the Achronim make as to why it is that electric appliances should not require Tevilas Kelim. That I think the Chalkas Yaakov of Breish argues that since the only way a sandwich maker or a George Foreman grill or any of these things will ever function, will ever operate, is when you plug it into the wall. So plugging it into the wall is plugging it into the house. It's now Mechubar Lekarka. So something that's Mechubar Lekarka doesn't have a din kli, is not going to require Tevilas Kelim. But it's Metalplin, it's a kli, you move it from here to there, you can take, yeah, but it's not functioning when you're moving it from here to there. So it's a very similar svara. The Rabbeinu Chananel is saying, and the chiddush is that it's metaltelin, not that it's karka. L'chara against that chiddush. It's a very, very mechudushtik idea that they want to suggest. As a pashtus is, if it's something that's going to get destroyed in the water anyway, so I think there are other reasons that many poskim, Rav Shechter certainly, and Rav Asher Weiss also, both paskim, that if it's something that's going to get destroyed by toveling it, so it's just not chayiv in tefillah, that there was never a chayiv tefillah on something that would get ruined by the tevila itself. Rav Moshe has a chiddush that if you have something that has two components, it has like an electrical component, and then there's the part where the food goes, you don't have to tovel the whole thing. You only have to tovel, even though normally a kli has to be totally submerged, he has a chiddush that if you have something that has this electrical component and the part that holds the food, they're considered two separate kelim. So you only have to tovel the part that actually holds the food. Most of the time, they're so closely connected with each other. Once you're toveling the part that holds the food, it's getting everywhere. The water is getting all through the wiring and everything. Okay, Masiv Rabba, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Benos Safcha Natlu Dalid Chalakim. Shnemar VeYipul Chavli Menasha Asara. That the Benos Safcha took four Chalakim from the Yerusha of their father. So doesn't that imply that it's in Eretz Yisrael, that their Pishnayim was also a portion of Eretz Yisrael? So don't tell me that it was just tent pegs. No, clearly it was part of Eretz Yisrael. So Ella Omer Rabba Eretz Yisrael. So rather what we have to say is that Eretz Yisrael was not considered ra'uy, it's considered muchzak, that Chefer already had his portion of Eretz Yisrael, even though he never saw it, even though he never lived in it, it's still considered that he was already muchzak in it. The Yad Rama explains, how can you say that? What do you mean he was muchzak in it? He never touched it, he never made kinyan. What do you mean he was muchzak? So he says that a Bukhar does not, the fact that a Bukhar does not take b'ra'uy k'be muchzak is because someone who has karkin in his rishus could give it to somebody else. Let's say Yitzchak dies while his father Avram is still alive. So Yaakov the Bechor is not going to take Pishnayim of Avram's Nechasim that should have gone to Yitzchak, because Avram could have given those Nechasim away before he died and it never would have gotten to Yitzchak in the first place. So since Avram had the full ability to get rid of all of this stuff before he died, and never would have gone be Yerusha, so Mela, that's why Bukhar is not no tel pishnaim b'roi k'b'muchsak. Mashein kein be'eretz Yisrael. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maftiach to give it to Zerah, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, to give Eretz Yisrael, he's never going to be chozer bo. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to keep the promise, so it's not like we can say, he could have decided, you know what, instead I'm going to give it to the Knizi people, or something. That wouldn't have happened. He already made the promise, he already made the avtacha that he's giving it to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tell a lie. So even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it took him a long time till he actually actually followed through on that promise, but we knew that it was definitely going to happen. So he says that's more comparable to a person being makna sadeh lechavero mehayom ulachar zman, that the kinyan is going to be chal mehayom today. Once it's 30 days from now, then it's going to be retroactive to today. So, and then the makabel dies within the 30 days. So once that time comes, it turns out that he was muchsak from the beginning. He was muchsak already mehayom. So that's how the nachla of Eretz Yisrael worked as well. That's why it's considered to be muchsak. It's not considered to be just ra'ui. Meisveis asked the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Chidka Shimon Ashikmuni Hayilo Chaver Mitamidi Rabbi Akiva. V'kachayo Rabbi Shimon Ashikmuni Omer. Shimon Ashikmuni was a chaver of mine from the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Shimon Ashikmuni said, Yodea Hayim Moshe Rabbeinu Shabbano Slavchad Yorshos Hein Avlo Yodei Im Notos Chelik B'chorim Lav. Moshe Rabbeinu was well aware that the Bnos Slavchad should receive a Yerusha. What he was unaware of was whether they get the Pishnayim, whether they also take the Pishnayim that Slavchad was entitled to as well. And really, the parsha of the Nachlos of the Yerusha should have been written Al Yidei Moshe, because he was the one that that taught all of the Torah. But for raising this question, because they were the ones that raised this question, the Bnei Slavchad were zocha that this parsha was written Al Yadan rather than Al Yidei Moshe Rabbeinu. So that was the contribution of the Bnei of the Bnos Slavchad. Tosus points out, had Yodeo Emosha Shibnos Slavchad Yarsha saying, Avoplichal Nemra Parshas Nachla, Yodeo Emosha Mitamdel Kaman, Im Kabeno Nirushim Kabastis Yavni Menu. Even though the Parshas Nachla was not yet given, he didn't know it, he couldn't have known it from the Psukim yet, but what he knew it from was the Parsha of Yibum, as the Gemara is going to say, when the Gemara darshans how smart the Bnos Slavchad were and opportunistic to figure out when Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching which shir to speak up in and say, hey, wait a second, we should get a Yerusha. It talks about the Parsha of Yibum, that when does a woman require Yibum? When the man didn't have any son or any daughter. So the Bnos Slavchad said, well, wait a second, if we're good enough to save him from Yibum, we should be good enough to get the Yerusha as well. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew that too, meaning he knew the Parsha of Yibum. That much he could have realized that they deserved to get Yerusha. The only thing he didn't know was how much. Do they also get the Pishnayim, or do they only get a regular Chelek of the Yerusha? Furthermore, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the proper punishment for the Mekoshesh Eitzim was that he should be Chayiv Misa. Shnemar, Mechalala Mosimas. The Pasuk says, Mechalala Mosimas. Avalo Yodea Be'ezo Misa Hu Yamos. What Moshe Rabbeinu was unaware of was which Misa should he get. And therefore, Beruza Haisa Parsha of the Mekoshesh Tekasavai De Moshe. Really, the Parsha of the Mekoshesh should have been written by Moshe. Elishen is Chayiv Mekoshesh Minuchval Yado. But the Mekoshesh, because he did this terrible thing of being Mekoshesh Eitzim, so this is a blot on his record for eternity, that it became part of the Torah that we learned this halacha through his misdeed, through his avera. So we see the contrast with the Bnos Slavchad, that they were such chachamim, they came up with this idea, so a beautiful din of Yerusha, of Yerusha Sabas, is taught through them because they were the ones that initiated the conversation, and the Mekoshesh teaches us the terrible punishment of a Chalal Shabbos, because he was the one that decided to initiate the act of Chalal Shabbos. So he is the forever the source of the notion of a Chiv Misa of Chalal Shabbos. The Lamdacha, and this teaches us Shemagalgun Zchus Al Yidei Zakai V'Chov Al Yidei Chayiv, that those who do good things are we bring good things about through them, and those who do bad things bring bad things about through them. The Marsha writes in the Chidushe Agados over here that Beperek Hazorik Amar Rabbi Akiva Mekoshesh Zet Slavchad. The juxtaposition of these two statements about how the Bnos Slavchad were Zocha and how the Mekoshesh was Chayiv is not an accident. The Gemara tells us that the Mekoshesh was Slavchad. The Kach Amru B'Medrash, says the Marsha, Sha'amru B'Nosav Ki B'Chet Omeis Hu amakoshesh, when they said that our father was not part of the Meraglim, he was not part of the Mesoninim, he was not part of Adas Korach, rather it was Bechetomes, they knew exactly which chet it was that he died because of. He was the Makoshesh. That was the only chet that was mentioned in the entire Dora Midbar committed by an individual. So they were trying to say, so have Rachmanis on him. So why have Rachmanis on him? Just because he was a Mechal Shabbos? I would think, don't have Rachmanis on him. Says Marshav, Efshalom HaShomer, Benosav, Kein Lochus, Alzaro, Valpi Mashakosav, Targum Yonason, Parsha Shlach, Chabasuk, Veyu B'nei, Kom Gavra Midbeis Yosef, Amar, B'memrei Azil, V'etlosh Kisin, U'moshe Yitvun Ulfun, Min Kodem Hashem, V'yodun, Yasi B'chon, Ishtamoda K'nasa, L'chol Beis V'chulei. That they were trying to say that he was doing this L'shem Shemayim, that he wanted to know, that he wanted it to be taught what Misa should be given to a Mechal Shabbos, so he went out and he did this Dafka to be Mechal Shabbos, so that this halacha could be taught. Otherwise, this halacha never would have been known what Misa Mechal Shabbos gets. So it says in Marsha that there were those that ask on this Targum Yonason, Hey Chata B'Yisra Shabbos, can they lay the Be'ezu Misa done in a Mechal Shabbos? That doesn't sound righteous at all. I mean, the person says, the world needs to know this piece of Torah. They need to know what happens to Mechal Shabbos. So I'll be Mechal Shabbos? I mean, that's not taking one for the team. That's being foolish. You're going against the Ratzon Hashem. You can only Mechal Shabbos. How could he have done that? What kind of cheshbon is that? Says the Marsha, unbelievable. The Yishlomar kibush lo yitzarich l'mlachazu. Elei d'beizu misa havalei malacha she'ein netzricha l'gufa. That since he's not doing the malacha for the malacha, he didn't need the eitzim. He wasn't being mekoshesh. He just needed it to demonstrate what the misa of Chil Shabbos was, so it's therefore considered a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa on Shabbos. Part of the definition of malacha Shabbos, midoraisa, is that you're doing it for the purpose that it was done for in the Mishkan. So if he's not doing it for the purpose it was done for in the Mishkan, he's doing it for this ulterior motive of just being able to demonstrate the Yechayiv Misa, that makes it Melacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, like Chofer Guma Veinat Tzarecha L'Afara. Like the classic case of Melacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, you dig a hole, but not because you're trying to be Choresh a hole, but because you only need the dirt of that hole. So that's a Melacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, and according to Rabbi Shimon, you're Potter. So the, on a Daraisa level, Tzlavcha didn't do anything wrong. He was, so how could Moshe Rabbeinu kill him then? How does he... Because you can't tell whether he was doing a malach shein tzricha l'gufa or not. You don't know. It was dvarim shebelev. Afterwards, you're going to say, he's going to say, no, I wasn't really intending for that malacha. Well, that's dvarim shebelev. We know he got the asra. He violated the asra. We can't know. That's up to the Ribbono Shel to even out the score up in Shemayim afterwards. But we can't know that it was a malach shein tzricha l'gufa. So that's the old question. How do you define exactly malach shein tzricha l'gufa? I think in one of his farm, not here in Chashuk Yechemed, but in one of his other farm, and has the case of the guy who was so upset by all the Shomrei Shabbos taking over his neighborhood that he wanted to dafka demonstrate Chil Shabbos. So he didn't really need to go anywhere, but he would just drive his car around the neighborhood to show that, maybe blasting the music or something, to show that he could be Mechal Shabbos. So people were wondering, is he Taka Mechal Shabbos? Is he accomplishing what he wants? Because he doesn't need to go anywhere. He's not driving his car because he needs his car. Maybe the whole thing's a Melach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa. So he's, shooting himself in the foot. He's trying to be Mechal Shabbos and he's unsuccessful in his attempt to be Mechal Shabbos. But I think the Pashtus is he is successful in his attempt to be Mechal Shabbos. There's a difference between the Kavana of the Melacha and the motivation of the malacha. You know, his motivation may be for whatever ulterior motives he has, but what the malacha is trying to do is he's trying to burn the gas when he steps on the pedal. I mean, also Tzavcha is trying to be, it's a big chiddush that the Marsha says, he's trying to be mekoshish the eitzim, not because he's cleaning out the area or whatever, he needs the eitzim. It's just he's collecting the eitzim. It's just that why he's doing it, what's motivating him to do it, is to make this demonstration about Chil Shabbos. So it is quite a chiddush that the Marsha is suggesting over here, but that is in fact the Marsha's chiddush. In fact, there's a tshuva in the Torah Lashma in Simun Kuf Chav Gimel about a Jew who was traveling and he had to stop at some inn and there was only one room that had any warmth. It was very cold in the other rooms, so there was one large common room where it was warm, and he wanted to sleep in that common room where it was warm because he was a sickly kind of person, and he was afraid he was going to get ill if he slept in the cold. And then a band of Goyim came, who were clearly anti-Semites, and if they knew that he was a Jew, they would make his life miserable. They would drag him out and bring him to the cold, and it would be they weren't going to kill him, but it would be pretty terrible. So he wanted them to believe that he was not a Jew. It happened to have been Shabbos, and he figured the best way for him to demonstrate that he's not a Jew is to light the lamp, because what kind of Jew would be Mechal Shabbos? So he lights the lamp so that they won't suspect that he's a Jew, even though he didn't need the light at all. He wants to go to sleep. He doesn't want the light in the room. So the shaila was, maybe that's not a violation of Chil Shabbos, because it's a malacha, Shein Etzricha Legufa. So that's what the shaila in the Torah Lishma was. So the Ben Ish Chai writes back in the Torah Lishma that it's that Lechora, it's a malacha Shein Etzricha Legufa based on our Marsha, that Slavchad, the Mekoshesh, was a malacha Shein Etzricha Legufa. But he still says he did the wrong thing, and he needs kapara for this. Either because if Yehuda like Rabbi Yehuda Melech Shein Tzrich L'Guf is Nisra Daraisa anyway, or if Yehuda like Rabbi Shimon that it's Pater Avalaser, but Aser Midrabanan. But even according to that, what would have happened? You weren't going to die. You should be Sova, a little bit of Tzar, in order not to be Mechal Shabbos. So he thought that was a terrible thing, that was a terrible idea for the person to violate this halacha of Chil Shabbos just because he wanted to demonstrate that he's not a Jew. So says Gemara further now, we are at the top of Kuf Yotes, Amud Beis. Why did we quote this whole thing about what Moshe knew, what he didn't know? Because if you want to say that Eretz Yisrael is muchzekes, that it's already something that was in the possession of Chefer, why was Moshe Rabbeinu unsure whether the B'nai Slav could get Pishnaim? Of course they should get Pishnaim. I mean, once he knew that they get Yerusha, and you know that Eretz Yisrael is muchzekes, so then it's obvious that the next step is that they're going to get Pishnaim. So it says Mar, Higufa Kamistapkalei. No, that's exactly what he was unsure about. He wasn't sure whether Eretz Yisrael is considered mechzekas or not. Tichsiv nasati osal lachem morasha ani Hashem Yerusha hi lachem me'avoseichem, that it's considered a Yerusha from your forefathers. Odilma shemorishin ve'inon yorishin, or maybe no, it's morishin. They could be morishit, but they're not actually yorishit. It's not considered to be their own Yerusha. Upashule travayu Yerusha lachem me'avoseichem umorishin ve'inon yorishin v'ainu tichsiv tivi'emo v'siteemo bar. And they were able to darshan that yes, it's a Yerusha that they're considered to be muchzakin, even though they will never see it, even though they will never actually be yoreshit, because the pasuk says tivieimu v'siteimu bar nachlasecha tivieinu lo ne'amar. It doesn't say bring us, we will be brought into Eretz Yisrael. You see that at that point in history they were already being misnave that they were never going to see Eretz Yisrael, already at Kriyas Yamsuf, but they had no idea what they were saying, because it was only later that it became revealed to them that they were never going to see Eretz Yisrael, only at in the aftermath of the Chet HaMeraglim. But already they were being misnave about this. Marsha just points out that it sounds like when they sang the Shira, no one knew what they were saying. They didn't realize the meaning, the deeper meaning of what they were saying. But Rashi on Chumash points out that Moshe Rabbeinu was misnave about himself, that he's not going to enter Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu was already aware of that, because the Gemara says in Masech Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Ata Tira, that you're going to see the Melchemes Paro, but Iyat HaRoa B'Melchemes Shoshim Vechem Melachim, you're not going to see the Melchema of the 31 kings. And that means Moshe Rabbeinu was already aware that he would not enter, so at least one person was Yodea Ma Misnave at the time. So that's what the Marsha says, that Lechora, our Gemara, is against that Medrash, that they didn't know what they were being misnave. So what did the Bnei Slavcha do? They went, they asked their shayla to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then to Elazar, and then to the Nasiim, and then to Kol Eda. That's a very strange order to ask the question in. Efshar amdu l'fnei Moshe v'chulei v'lamar l'andavar v'amdu l'fnei Nasiim v'kol Eda. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, so the Nasiim are going to know. Kol Eda is going to know. How in the world are they going to know? know. They learned all of their Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. So if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, they weren't going to know either. So Gemara has two possibilities. Ela sareis ha-mikra v'darshehu, div Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia says you have to flip around the pasuk. You have to flip around the order of the pasuk and darshan it in reverse order, that really they went up the ladder in terms of asking the Shaila, the Eida and the Nasiyim and Elazar, and then finally to Moshe Rabbeinu. Abba Chanan Amar Mishum Rabbi Elazar, bebeis ha-medrish ha-yuyoshun v'holchu v'amdulan l'fnei kulan. All of the Chacham were sitting together in the Beis Medrash, Moshe amongst them, and they posed their question to all the Chacham at the same time, sitting in the Beis Medrash. It's not that there was any order, that they went to Moshe, he didn't know, so they started going down the ladder. No, they asked it, they posed a question to everybody. So, b'may kamiflugi, what exactly is the Nekudas HaMachlokas over here? Why would one suggest that they went up the ladder, and why would one suggest that they pose the question to everybody? So Mar Savar Cholkin Kavod the Talmud b'Makom Rav. Umar Savar in Cholkin. They're arguing about whether you can show Kavod to a Talmud when the Rav is there. So if you hold, so the question is which way is which? Meaning the way the Rashbam understands it is that Abba Chanan holds that you are Cholik Kavod the Talmud even b'Makom Rav, because that's all part of the chashivus of the Rav, and therefore you can ask the question to everybody at one time, including the Talmidim, because that's being Cholkin Talmud, Kavod the Talmud Makom Rav. Whereas Rabbi Yoshia says, Ein Cholkin, and therefore you dafka have to do it in the reverse order. It has to be that they first asked the Talmidim when Moshe wasn't there, and then they went to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, until they showed the Kavod to Moshe Rabbeinu. Others say the opposite. No, Cholkin Kavod the Talmud Makom Rav means they went up the ladder, that they were allowed to ask, even though they were all in the room, they were allowed to ask first the Talmidim, and then work their way up to the Rav, because you're allowed to give Kavod to the Talmud, but Makom Rav. Others, whereas in Cholkin Kavod the Talmud Makom Rav, has to be that they were all in the room together and they only asked the Shaila at once to Moshe Rabbeinu, because you would never be allowed to ask the Nesiim and Kala Eda b'makom Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's a machlokas exactly how to understand which side holds which. What's the svara of being allowed to be Cholik Kavod the Talmud b'makom Rav? Isn't that a bizayon to the Rebbe that you're showing the Kavod to the Talmud? So the Rashbam points out, no, it's the greatest Kavod to the Rebbe, that if this is how you respect my subordinate, so kal v'chomer, the kind of kavod that you would show the Rebbe, so that's considered a great kavod to the Rebbe. V'hilchasa cholkin, v'hilchasa in cholkin. As far as how do we paskin cholkin kavod, or do we paskin in cholkin kavod? Yeah. Both. So says Gemara, Kasha Hilchsa Hilchsa, but wait, that doesn't make sense. Either you do or you don't. So Hilchsa Hilchsa lo Kasha. It's not a Kasha. Had the Palagle Rabbe Yakra, had the Lo Palagle Rabbe Yakra. It all depends if the Rebbe's on board. If the Rebbe likes to show cover to the Talmud, so then we too can show cover to the Talmud. But if the Rebbe doesn't like to show cover to the Talmud, then probably we shouldn't do it either. In the Chasam Sofer, he writes that the reason that Cholkin Kavod the Talmud Makom Rav is that we learn it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melo Kala Aretz Kvoda, the whole world is the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nevertheless, he's Chalak Mikvoda Liyareyav, and he wants us to be Mechabed those who fear him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a specific tzivoy to be Mechabed, our parents to be Mechabed, Zekeinim to be Mechabed, Talmidei Chachamim. So you have this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to give, and we even make a bracha on it. When we see him, the bracha on Melech is our Kodesh Baruch Hu's Nasan Mikvodo L'Basar V'Dam, or Chalak Mikvodo L'Basar V'Dam. When you see a Melech Yisrael, that our Kodesh Baruch Hu gives from his Kavod to people, even though it's not even nearly the same Madrega, but that's what our Kodesh Baruch Hu does. So we learn from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Tana. So now the last little piece of the daf discusses the unique qualities of the Bnos Slavchad. Bnos Slavchad, Chachmanios Hein, Darshanios Hein, Tzidkanios Hein. Three specific qualities. They were wise, they knew how to darshan, and they were extraordinarily righteous. Chachmanios Hein, Shalafi Sha'a Dibru. They were Chachmanios, their wisdom is evident in the fact that they knew exactly what the right opportunity was to raise their issue. That they waited for the right time. Dam Rab Shon Bar Yitzchak, Melamed Shei Moshe Ben Yoshe V'Doresh B'Parshas Yevamin. Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching the halachos of Yibum. Shenemar Ki Yeshua Achim Yachtav. So he was describing the halachos of Yibum. So Amru Lo, im keben anu chashuvin, tenei lanu nachla keben. So they said to him, if we're like a ben, meaning if we're like a ben enough that it would save our mother from having to do yibum or chalitza, so good, so give us a Yerusha like a son. Im lav, tisyabim imenu. And if we're not like a son, then let our mother have yibum or chalitza, if we don't count as a son. So miyad v'yakrav Moshe as mishpatim v'nei Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu brought their mishpat, Livnei Hashem, because he realized that this was a good question. The Rashbam explains that they found the right Pesach to go with the Taina in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Sefer Kosei Yeshuas, he says, what's the Chachma in this? It's based on what the Mishnah says in the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos, that a Chacham is someone who's Shoel Ke'inyin and Meshiv Ka'alacha. And the Mepharshim explained it means that you should only ask your Rebbe in a sugya that he's holding it, not in another Inyan. So when a Talmud is Shoel Ke'inyin, the Rav is going to be Meshiv Shoel Ka'alacha. Because even though, yeah, he once learned it, but he's not holding in that sugya, it's going to be very difficult for him to answer with accuracy. That's what Gemara Masechta Shabbos says, that Rabbi Chiya said to Rav that when Rebbe is Osek in one Masechta, don't ask him about another Masechta. So the Bnos Slavchad wanted a Dafka come with their Taina when Moshe Rabbeinu was holding in the Parsha of Yibum, so that was a very wise thing to do. And he says that's why you understand why Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak says, Miyad Vayakrav Moshe's Mishpat L'Vnei Hashem, that right away Moshe Rabbeinu was able to bring the Mishpat L'Vnei Hashem. Had it not been that he was holding in the Parsha, he would have assumed that it was his faulty memory, that he didn't know the answer to the halacha. So he would have said, I need to think about it, I need to chazer over the whole inyan, I need to get back into that sugya. And it wouldn't have been miyad, it wouldn't have been right away. So that's what the Gemara adds in the word miyad, because he was holding in the sugya, so he knew what he didn't know. He knew that he didn't know the answer, so that's why miyad, he was able to go straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say that we have a problem over here, because it was shoel, they were shoel ki'inyan. So that's the chachma of being shoel Ke'inyan. Hard to understand exactly how that chashash applies to Moshe Rabbeinu, that he's not holding in the Moshe Rabbeinu is not holding in the sugya, and we see some of one of the big differences between like gedolim and regular Talmidei Chacham is that issue. I ask my Rabbi Yishayla in anything, he's there. It's like he didn't have to have learned it recently. He's mamish in the inyan every time. Whereas other Talmidei Chacham, you know, you ask, okay, need to think about it, need to look into it. So hard to understand what that even means. But that's what the Gemara assumes, that even people of very, very great stature, that it's shalosh shalo ke'inyan is somehow a problem. It's based on experience, it's hard to understand. Okay, darshanios, they were also, the Benos Levchad were also darshanios. That if our father would have had a son, we never would have come here. We never would have asked the question. I mean, they knew to darshan the psukim that, so the Rashbam explains, that ki ein lo ben. So they knew to make the diuk, that if he did have a ben, then we have no taina. Iva Tanya Bas, we have another brisa that says that if our father had a daughter, we wouldn't have come here. So what does that mean? Some Rabbi Yirmiyah, some Mikan Bas. No, you take away the nusach of daughter. It means if our father would have had a son. The whole thing, what's the Havamina? That was an accurate text. If our father would have had a daughter, we wouldn't have. Your father did have a daughter. He had several of them, and they are you. So that's why you're here. Right? What does it mean? What was the Havamina of even thinking that this could have been a proper girsa in the Brisa, that if our father would have had a daughter. So the Marsha suggests that since the Gemara is about to say that past the age of 40, a woman is unable to have children, so the Marsha suggests that they were saying, Ilu Hailo Bas, if he would have had a daughter who was younger, we would have let her do all the talking, and not us, because it would look like we're not interested in being morished our children, we're not going to have children, we're just interested in getting married, so a guy we're going to be desirable if we have a Yerusha, because they're going to get it from us, because we're not going to have any children to get it from us, so they're going to get it from us and be mavir to whatever children they have from other marriages. So if he would have had a younger daughter, we would have, that was the Havamina, that's what they were saying. If he would have had a younger daughter, we would have let her represent us. But he doesn't have a younger daughter. But anyway, the Gemara says samimi kan bas. No, what they meant is if he would have had a son, then we wouldn't have come with any taina. Abaya amar afilu haya bas leben lo dibarnu. No, maybe keep the word bas. And what they were trying to say is that if he would have had a granddaughter from a son who predeceased him, if the son would have died, but he would have had a granddaughter, we would have let that granddaughter get everything, and we wouldn't have raised any many questions, but he never had a son, and that's why we're coming and we're asking about this. It is interesting that if you look in Rashi on Chumash, when Rashi on Chumash quotes this part of the conversation, Ha'im hayilo ben lo hayu tovos klum, Rashi Bamidbar Chav Zayin Pasuk Dalet, Rashi says Magid shechachmanios hayu. This teaches us that the Bnei Slavchad were chachmanios. That's l'chara directly against the Gemara. The Gemara says no, they were chachmanios. That we already know from the fact that they were opportunistic to wait for the Shira Nibum. They were darshanios. That's what we really learn from here. So the Marsha raises the question already, and all the other Mefarshim and Rashi raise the question why Rashi goes off from the Gemara on this point. They say Rashi's getting it from a Sifri. There's another Maimar Chazal that actually identifies Chachmanios as the Mida that they demonstrated over here. And then the third Mida they demonstrate, Tzidkanios Hein, Shlo Nisu El Lahagun Lahen, that they were Tzidkanios, that they didn't just jump at the first opportunity to get married. They only wanted to marry someone who is appropriate for them, meaning someone who would not take the Nachla away from their Shevet, because they were sensitive to the fact that it had to stay in the Shevet. Tani Reb Lazar ben Yaakov, Afilu Katana Sheben Lo Nises Pchusim Me'Abram Shana. Even the youngest among them didn't get married till they were at least 40 years old. So you see that they were that they were Tzidkanios. They were very, very patient. Even though a woman would like to get married much younger, they waited till after the age of 40 to get married, so that they wouldn't be mavir the nachla from their shevet. So Beis Hashem will start on that point tomorrow. The age of 40, what it is about the age of 40, and whether it's appropriate to wait to the age of 40 to get married.